So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Gentlemen, welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network and home of LouisvillePolitics.com as well. I tell you, we're just going to get right to it tonight. Don't want to waste any time because I tell you, I'm just so laughing so hard today about President Obama's gun control. It is beyond belief that the American people are such sheep. Joining us as always tonight, especially with this topic, Mr. Dale the Truth. How are you, sir?
I'm doing okay, my friend. I've been fighting with the imbeciles over at Insight Communications. So, again, I hope whoever's listening will get their internet and cable through somebody other than Insight because they suck ass.
Well, I'll tell us how you really feel. I understand you were having some problems getting signed.
It's horrible. I've been having this problem since the last week's show of yours, Ed.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
Well, that's amazing because I know there's been some problems.
I can tell the story,
with...
but I know that people don't want to hear the story about how you call Insight, they send a tech out to my home, then the tech says, oh, it's outside, it's a street-level problem, then the street-level they say, no, it's inside, and they go back and back, circle-jerking each other, and they never fix the problem, so enough of that.
And they all get paid, right. The thing, I want to point out this, too, for our listeners. For one thing, you guys deserve an apology for last night. The quality of the show, and it's what isn't our fault. It's a tech issue, apparently with Skype or BTR. They're fighting back and forth trying to decide who the problem was. We had some problems with people dropping off for no reason. People that were Skyping in were dropping off. We had sound problems.
You weren't talking about government conspiracies, were you?
Actually, yeah, that's when it all started.
There you have it.
And but in this particular case, though, our good friend Clint Hardy over at Kentucky Grassroots Radio happened to be listening to the show. And, he was texting in the chat room that they had been having the same problem with their grassroots radio show all week. So
Wow. It
wasn't just us this time. So, we're going to look at a bigger picture here and try to be gracious if we can. In the meantime, so many things going on. We're going to talk a little bit about Aaron Swartz tonight, of course. I love the fact that Anonymous backed down the Westboro Baptist Church. I thought that was great. We're going to talk about that, a few other things going on. From what I understand now, there are some tentative arrangements for Judy Green that her funeral will be held at St. Stephen Baptist on Saturday morning, I believe at 11 a.m. We'll get that finalized and try to get that to you guys tomorrow night during Dale's show. You know, if we can, we can. And, you know, so there's a lot of things going on. But, Dale, really the big thing, did you watch or read about the president's speech today and what he wants to do with this gun control philosophy? He actually signed 23 executive actions on behalf of gun control today.
Yeah, I didn't. I couldn't listen to him because I was at work and I wouldn't want to listen to him. But I saw the executive actions. And again, there's been a lot of discussion about whether they're executive orders. And they're not executive orders, but they're I wish I could say, you know, I'm laughing at the guy, but it's getting pretty scary out there, Ed. I mean, I never thought that we'd see a U.S. president want to disarm the people so bad like this president does.
Well, I totally agree with you there. But what's fascinating is because for me personally, you know, everything that Barack Obama is doing with this offends me as an American.
Yeah.
I'll tell you guys that right now. But what is fascinating is he really didn't go as far as I thought he was going to go. You know, he went far enough, believe me. But when you look at these 23 executive actions, you know, now some people are calling these executive orders. These aren't exactly executive orders. There's a little bit of difference between executive action and executive order.
Yeah.
But if you look at these, most of these are just garbage. It's gibberish to make it look like he's trying to do something, trying to satisfy this liberal left. And, you know, I mean, one of these, for example, we want to improve incentives for states to share information. The states aren't going to be willing to do that. He wants to improve incentives. Direct the attorney general to review categories of individuals prohibited from having a gun. Well, aren't we doing that anyway? You know, a lot of these things are already basically being done. You know, he's just reworded some of this. It's all review this, look at this, nominate an ATF director. What has that got to do with anything?
Yeah, I can't believe there's no ATF director. I guess that explains a lot right there.
Well, you know, a couple of the funniest ones on here, though, were when he was talking about the assault weapons and tracking the assault weapons that the government uses and things like that. And the first thing that came to mind with me was Fast and Furious. And I was totally, as soon as I saw that particular one, I'm going to try to find the exact one here. But as soon as I saw that, I just started laughing. I was like, what do you mean by talking about how to run background checks or how to track weapons? You know, here it is. Issue a presidential memorandum to require federal law enforcement to trace guns recovered in criminal investigations. Are you serious? Because to my knowledge, we already do that.
Well, it's really bad, Ed, and like I said, this is why I think it's scary that on one hand, you have a president who wants to disarm the people so bad, and you think all the people who aren't tied to this president would stand up to him, but a lot of it depends on where the kickbacks are coming, and what's really scary tonight is I'm seeing a story about a lot of police chiefs who are usually worthless. Police chiefs usually aren't worth a shit, and a lot of police chiefs are backing Obama's gun control plan. Isn't that great?
Well, sure they are. That doesn't surprise me in the least.
They don't mean to be armed. They want you to wait to one of your household, and I'm sorry, I'm going to get a little angry here tonight and go Alex Jones on the audience, I guess. The police want you to wait till somebody's chalk outline has to be drawn, and that's when the police will be there. You better
Maybe the police are scared. Maybe the police are scared because they're abusing private citizens so bad they're scared one of them's going to fight back and shoot them.
Exactly. They're scared of the people, but they're also scared of what happens if they don't get their federal kickbacks for all the money. That was another one of these executive actions talked about all this money, this Homeland Security money. And I thought they were already kicking back money to local police departments. That's why you see all these vehicles that stay paid for by Homeland Security.
Well, you know, that's exactly it. We're looking right now to, I mean, one of, I guess, the biggest money makers here. It looks like it's going to be about $500 million is what he's trying to propose. But realistically, there's not much here that $500 million goes to other than put 15,000 police officers on the street. And quite frankly, so what?
Right. And if you start and look at all these executive, again, like you said, actions, not executive orders.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, I've heard a lot of people on TV tonight. I was watching the local news when the internet wasn't worth a crap and I couldn't get on it. And a lot of these people on local news, they're acting like, oh, they're so relieved that Obama didn't go further. It's like if you shred the Constitution at the slow rate, it's okay if it's as long as you're not shredding it at the fast rate. And I see these idiots on TV, especially I saw the morons on WHAS and Wave 3, talking about, oh, well, it didn't go nearly as far as people would thought it would, ha, 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 ha. And the bleach blonde bimbos, just like your song says, sit there and just smile about it on wave three and talk about, oh, it's not that bad, ha, 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 ha.
Well, I mean, it really is that bad overall because he is
they
trying to...
They don't think
to,
so
because
they don't own guns. They think the police are going to save them if they get attacked or raped.
Well, we talked a little bit about the hypocrisy of that last night on the show, and part of that hypocrisy was like the New York newspaper that listed all the gun owners and everything else, their addresses and who they were in the paper.
Yep.
The criminals were now targeting these folks trying to get their guns. But what was fascinating was Project Veritas went undercover.
Yep.
We talked about it last night a little bit, but Project Veritas went undercover with James O'Keefe, the guy who runs it and owns it, to all these newspaper journalists who printed these names and these editors who wanted these names out there.
Yep.
And they went knocking on their door and acted like they were with this gun-free group and asked if they could put a gun-free yard sign in their yard, and every one of them slammed the door in their face. And by the time they got to the end of the list, they already had FBI police waiting at homes, questioning them. The owners had armed security, you know, protecting their home. And you're sitting here thinking, you guys want to go out and tell the whole world that guns are bad. You want to go out and tell the whole world, you know, that who the gun owners are so we can go after them. But you want to go ahead and hire armed security for your own personal residence. What the hell? I mean, that's hypocritical as anything. And the NRA actually, I think, was very exact and very legit when they went after President Obama. And their latest ad, and everybody says, "Oh, that was just going way overboard," because you know they asked the basic question: are the president's kids more important than yours? And they called the President Obama an elitist hypocrite, and he is. Why is his children allowed to have armed security in school, but my child isn't?
Because
he's the president of the United States.
I mean, you talk about these executive actions. I know you said in the description of the show that you want to tackle them one at a time. Let's start at the top. He said, issue a presidential memorandum, whatever the hell that is, to require federal agencies to make relevant data available to the federal background check system. Why are they not already doing this? And Ed, to use one of your favorite topics, do you think that this applies to illegal aliens?
Of course it doesn't. It also doesn't apply to criminal. Because here's the thing. Wasn't that supposed to be addressed as part of Homeland Security? They were bringing all these federal agencies together to streamline the process so that we could root out terror and everything else.
Yeah.
So these agencies are already supposed to be doing this. I totally agree with you there. And then when you look at the second one, address unnecessary legal barriers, particularly relating to the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. What this simply means here, folks, is that, you know, right here in Kentucky and across the nation, you've got HIPAA laws. Your health is private. No one has the right to get your health records without you giving them permission. What this is a way for him to go around HIPAA.
Yep.
Now, you think about this, and I want you guys to think seriously about this. Just a couple of weeks ago, there was a lady who worked in a dentist's office, who was hired to work in a dentist's office, and the dentist fired her. Well, this wasn't a couple of weeks, it was a couple of years ago. She filed a lawsuit. The dentist fired her because he said he didn't trust himself not to try to have an affair with her, so he let her go. At will work, right? He let her go, but he didn't trust himself. She sued him for firing her, you know, for no reason. He actually won that case.
Wow.
He actually won that case. The law said that he had the right to get rid of her for whatever reason he wanted to. If he was scared he might try to have an affair with her, it was jeopardizing his marriage, and that was his fear, he wanted to get rid of her. Now, here's the thing. You go to your doctor, you know, and it's a doctor that maybe, you know, or maybe you've got a doctor that you had a problem with, or you sue a doctor for malpractice. This guy goes out and says, you know, this guy had mental problems, and I'm turning him in now, blah, 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 because I'm scared for my safety. All by design to get out of a malpractice suit. Could that happen? You bet your butt it could. So your privacy through your HIPAA laws is now null and void if this goes through. Let's go to the phones real quick. I think this is our good friend Andy.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Greetings.
No. I'm hearing you talk about that lady getting fired. Well, remember now, also about 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, you had a truck driver. Over the road truck driver, they was trying to team him with a female,
mm-hmm.
and he sued his trucking company.
Mm-hmm.
It was against his religion to be in close proximity to an to a woman that he wasn't married to, like that for long periods of at a time. And I mean, I don't know how that came out, but I don't know this gun thing. And like you said, you were on Meeshan's show today, and we talked about that a little bit. One of the guys on there said something simple. Adolf just kind of scares me. I just don't know why these guys trust total strangers to have their best interest at heart. I don't know where this comes from.
I think people are too scared. Andy, you're breaking up and dropping off for some reason, my brother.
That's better.
I couldn't hardly hear you. I think ultimately people have become so acquainted with being sheep that they don't mind. They want to be led around. It's just like the Republicans. The Republicans don't want to lead. They want to be led. That's why you don't have a true two-party system today. It's all the uniparty. And what we're seeing now is all of these different things. Now that we've got this uniparty alive and well, the Republicans just had their ass handed to them in the last election, it gives the Democrats and the liberal left, they feel more emboldened and empowered than ever to force this liberal left agenda, which is nothing more than forcing us to a socialistic or communistic dictatorship type of government, period. That's it. You cannot sit here. When you look at the lessons in history, and this is something we couldn't get into this morning, and you guys need to check out me, Soren Daniels, in the Focus Show right here on BTR. He has a good show every Wednesday morning from 10 to 12, but when you look at this in play, we're not paying attention to history. This is exactly the plan that they are doing right now, step by step, is exactly the same thing that Adolf Hitler did in Nazi Germany, and he did it to Austria. And people sit here and say, oh, you're trying to bring the Nazis. No, we're not. He made it too hard to get your guns. When you didn't have guns, then you went to an 80% tax rate. When the 80% tax rate wasn't working anymore, he wanted to get rid of some of the population. How did he do that? He took the Jews and Auschwitz. You've got to look at history.
At the things, like we said, going through these different executive actions that the president signed today. I think it's scary as hell. I mean, I just can't believe we're actually living through this. And look at some of the other things we talked about. I'm looking down here at number four, direct the attorney general. Or the attorney general, as I call him, the attorney general to review categories of individuals prohibited from having a gun to make sure dangerous people are not slipping through their cracks. Well, aren't they already doing this?
Yes. Well,
do they mean dangerous? Do they define dangerous as all those bitter clingers? Is that what they mean by dangerous? And what about those illegal aliens? Are they going to make sure they don't get guns?
The key thing to me in that particular statement was direct the attorney general. Yep. Everybody knows that Eric Holder is a communist, liberal, left, Muslim loving, no good piece of garbage.
I mean,
everybody
he was understudy for Janet Reno, and he was talking about Janet Reno thought about people with guns.
Let's look at the reality of this. You got Fast and Furious. Eric Holder was in charge of.
Yep.
Eric Holder doesn't prosecute anything. And, you can call this race baiting all you want to, but he will not prosecute a black man for anything. Just ask the daggone new Black Panther Party and the voter intimidation tactics that we have on video proving it, and he refused to take any action. Let's look at Chicago. Barack Obama, even mentioned Chicago today about how this is going to go a long way to stopping the gun killings even on the streets of Chicago, which is a lie. Chicago, they just now lost at the Supreme Court level on allowing concealed carry permits in Chicago. But Chicago has the strictest, up until now, until all this stuff started. Chicago, you couldn't get a gun in Chicago legally, and yet they have some of the highest numbers of killings in the country. People get gunned down in Chicago in broad daylight, and it's just accepted as a fact of life in what is supposedly a gun-free zone. So, his hometown, now he's trying to sit out there, and he's trying to pay patronage to his hometown. I understand that. But his hometown is one of the worst places to live when it comes to being killed for shootings or anything else. So,
well, by the line, it's clearly if all the people have guns, if all the individuals and the hardworking blue collar workers in Chicago had guns, then how would Rahm Emanuel's little mafia run the city with an iron fist?
Well, that's
if everybody had guns, they might want to defend themselves. And again, look at the law enforcement stuff here. Number five thing that he signed today: proposed rulemaking to give law enforcement the ability to run a full background check on an individual before returning a seized gun. Well, why would the seized guns be returned? Oh, yeah, because the charge, arrest, whatever was invalid. but they were found to be innocent, so they had to return it.
Right. So that means, you know, that means me, a legal gun owner. That means me, a legal gun owner, concealed carry guy. If I was to carry my gun concealed and I get pulled over by a cop and they decide to arrest me illegally like they did in July, okay, and they keep my gun, now they have the right to keep my gun and do any kind of check they want to. That's wrong, because once the charges are dropped, there is no charge. There was not an illegal event or a crime. So nope. Once you're released and you're dismissed from this or found not guilty, you're absolutely right, Dale. This is the little stuff that people aren't paying attention to.
That's scary stuff, and people aren't paying attention to it. I mean, number six
says, not enough.
Publish a letter from the ATF to federally licensed gun dealers providing guidance on how to run background checks for private sellers. What does that mean for private sellers? A private seller doesn't go through an FFL dealer. So what is he proposing there?
What they are basically trying to say at this point is, and, you know, bear with me on this, okay? But what they're basically trying to say at this point is, to use an example from one of the articles I'm looking at, and this one happens to be from WND, this would demand that every time an uncle sells a .22 to his nephew, all right, he's going to be required to go through this. He's going to be required to have a background check before the uncle can give this gun to his nephew. Now, is this actually going to happen in reality? Well, hell no. My kids are going to get my guns. You know, I'm not going to go through all
of
that.
But that's the point. It's subjective. If they want to then come back later and say, oh, Ed Springsteen's children did this and this with that, so now we better hold him responsible, and now we better charge him with a crime because he didn't go by this stupid new executive action.
Yep, and you see, now we're getting into some things, though, that I actually do like, Dale. I really do. Look at number seven, for example. Launch a national safe and responsible gun ownership campaign. That's basically advertising for people.
Don't need that. The NRA already has
that. That's right. Well, I understand that. But if he wants to do that and enhance the NRA's message, great.
Yeah, but
he's not going to.
I mean,
well, what I'm saying is, though, he's saying
that when the federal government says safe and responsible, they mean not at all. They mean no guns.
Yes and no. I mean, it depends on how it's done. But here's the point.
They don't like your gun. They don't think.
Well, I know that, and you know that in reality, okay. But what I'm saying is, if we're going to break this down point by point, and we look at this, we want to launch a safe and responsible gun ownership campaign, and the NRA is already doing it. Barack Obama is telling the whole world there's no common ground with the NRA. Well, here's a great example right here where there is common ground. Now, how they want to word it in reality might be different.
Right.
But the NRA preaches safety and responsible gun ownership every time you hear about them. So that's something that could be done. You know, we already have gun locks and gun safes and things like that. So what's number eight? Review safety standards for gun locks and gun safes. Are you kidding me? I mean,
seen a single story, Ed? I mean, in your research, I know this is rhetorical, but in your research, have you ever seen a single story about a malfunctioning gun lock or a safe? Is that really a problem?
No, it's not. No, it's not. But that's what I'm telling you. This is a bait and switch. It makes it appear. This
sure
is what I said at the beginning of this. This is the silly stuff that tries to make it appear like they're doing something.
Sure.
Let's go to the phones. We got a new caller. William, you're on the air.
Yeah, how are you guys doing today?
Good. What can we do for you?
Yeah, I was looking through some of these articles that the president signed today.
Uh-huh.
And it's looking like he's really trying to get health care involved, where literally if you own a gun, it goes on your medical records.
Yep.
That's
exactly
just another
right.
way to identify. You're absolutely right,
there's
William.
There's already doctors out there have forms in certain doctor's offices in certain cities and states that ask you questions about how many guns you own, how often you use them. There's a lot of medical reports now where the doctors ask you for that information when you go in for an office visit.
All right, I'm going in because I have the flu.
Right.
They don't care. They want to know how many guns you have. The guns might cause the flu.
You know, me owning a gun, because I have a license to carry here in Central Pennsylvania. And,
Thank you, by the way, for that.
Yep.
Oh, I've had a license to carry since I can remember. You know, even when they said it was okay in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a background check and a half, let me tell you.
I bet.
But if I go in with the flu, and he says, oh, how many guns do you own? And I say none.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think it's none of his business. It has nothing to do with my flu. Now, is that, did I just, like, perjure myself to the doctor where
pretty much
I can get in trouble for that?
No.
Yep. I think you do.
No, actually no. Unless there is a statement. Now, here's what you got to understand about this, okay? This is kind of tricky. Unless there's a statement on there that says you're swearing under oath of penalty of perjury or something like along that line in the wording, you can tell that doctor anything you want to, and it doesn't matter. Because you haven't sworn under oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So, you wouldn't be guilty of perjury. However, in the event that you did something down the line and you never disclosed that,
right.
I'm sure there would be repercussions somewhere along
right,
there.
That's what I'm
they're still trying to work those details
right.
out. But, William, this is a great way. I mean, this is exactly what they want. They want to circumvent the HIPAA laws. Now, the reality is that as we see with James Holmes and as we've just seen with Adam Lanza up in Connecticut and Aurora and all that, when we see these guys, we know that these guys have mental issues, and that's why they did this. But instead of focusing on trying to keep that from happening with the guys that have the problems, because we now have a report, I don't know if you guys have seen this yet, and weigh on this if you want to, William, please, but I don't know if you guys have seen this yet, but in the case of James Holmes, one of the families, is now suing the psychiatrist at the university because the psychiatrist had contacted the psychiatrist and offered to put James Holmes up on a mental inquest warrant. She has the right to do that. She has the obligation to do that if he's a threat to the public. And he had been screaming for weeks how he was looking forward to killing people. And she refuses. She said, no, we don't want to put him there. It's okay. So the responsibility for Aurora, in my opinion, starts and stops with that psychiatrist. And I think it's a great lawsuit. Why should I have to suffer and let the federal government in on my medical problems when the people who are responsible for taking care of this and had the duty, the obligation, and the legal requirement to take care of this did not do their job? Why should I suffer for their failure? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, if you go into a psychiatrist's office and you're basically saying, I want to kill people,
mm-hmm.
and that psychiatrist doesn't take action immediately, then yeah, that's definitely a lawsuit for sure.
Well, see, and that's the whole thing. So they want to hold everybody accountable, the law-abiding people who wouldn't normally do anything like this. They want to hold all of us accountable. And when we look at the case of Adam Lanza, for example, the latest one, this is what they're trying to do here. For one thing, we still don't have credible information that tells us that Adam Lanza shot anybody with this bushwhacker that they're trying to blame it on. Let's make that very, very clear. Because all video evidence has shown us, all the news video evidence has shown us, that the police removed that assault rifle from Adam Lanza's trunk long after he was dead. Credible eyewitness accounts tell us that there were only four handguns found on Adam Lanza inside the school. So let's forget for a minute that this whole thing is based on what appears to be a lie at first glance, okay? Let's forget that for a minute, all right? But Adam Lanza had mental issues, well-documented mental issues, his whole life. His mom was so scared to leave him at home because of a stove, she would go ahead and cook all his meals for him, and then she left for 3 days prior to the shooting taking place, had just got home, left him by himself when she tells the whole world that she can't trust him to be by himself, left him by himself, and then comes home. She has a fear of him turning on the stove to try to cook for himself, but she had no fear of taking him to a gun range as a mentally disturbed young man, teaching him how to shoot, teaching him how to be accurate, and teaching him that the world was going to end and that he had to be prepared. So who has a responsibility here? Should they be coming into my medical background for something I didn't do? Why was his mom not held accountable? Why wasn't the school held accountable to kick him out for the mental issues? If we have a problem like that here in Louisville, Kentucky, Dale, who do they call? You got child services so far up your butt, you can't take you to go to the bathroom.
Well, a lot of these issues are supposed to be handled locally, and they're supposed to be handled through state and local affiliates. And again, if they want to come in here with a whole bunch of money at it, again, look at the incentives for schools to hire school resource officers, whatever the hell that means. Again, that's a state and local responsibility. But the federal government has so much money, we're not trying to spend over anything like a debt ceiling or anything. But by all means, throw some more money at the problem.
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. William, I mean, what do you think the answer is in this particular case?
Well,
410, you're up next, by the way. Go ahead.
The one thing, I watched the video of what they took out of the trunk, and that definitely was not the Bushmaster, because when the officer cleared that weapon, he cleared it from the side, so it had like an AK-47 type of action to it. He didn't clear it from the rear, he cleared it from the side.
Mm-hmm.
And what came out, what looked like, it was pretty large. It was a pretty large round, so it looked like it was a shotgun round. So that definitely was not the Bushmaster in the trunk. But what I don't understand with this is why they're holding information for another 2 months on, like, you know, any video, things like that. The whole thing just seems very, very odd to me, the way they're doing the investigation, and it's, you know, they're not releasing any information.
Well, that's not unusual.
It should be very odd to your caller, because what about the gentleman? Once again, we see a trend here when there's big shootings, but be like another character out there in the woods, so to speak. Well, he was in the woods this time. Why do we never hear about the guy again, never heard from again, who was out in the woods, who they took in, and who was screaming out, "I'm not involved, I didn't do it"? How come we never heard about that guy again?
Yeah, I did. I seen that video too.
Just like if you go way back to our audience old enough to remember Oklahoma City bombing, why did we never get John Doe number 2, who was a Middle Easterner? How come we only got Timothy McVeigh? And again, this is conspiracy theory land for people who don't like these things, but look it up. Why is Timothy McVeigh the only one they caught of those two? Just like with this case, this quote-unquote lone gunman is the only one they killed. You know,
well, in the case of Adam Lanza, Dale, we've actually got video of two people running from the back of the school that are dressed just like Adam Lanza. They've got video of them running as fast as they can from the scene, from the back of the school. They were dressed the same way and everything else. But that just totally disappeared. And, William, I'm going to tell you, you know, why they're holding this information for 2 months, and people are going to laugh at me once again, but it's political opportunism, because right now the issue is super hot for them to go after assault weapons bans. When they come out with this information in 2 months, after everything has already been decided on this gun control issue, we're going to find that the assault weapons or the semi-auto weapons were not part of this equation. But that doesn't fit the agenda of the administration. And I'll give you a case in point. Luis Abraham Sanchez Zavalita. He was a daggone intern for Bob Menendez. Do you guys have you seen this story yet? He was an illegal immigrant. There was an intern for Senator Robert Menendez. Okay, this guy was a pedophile. He had overstayed a visitor visa. He had been caught screwing around with an 8-year-old when he was 14. All right, he was supposed to be deported. They had an arrest warrant to arrest him, but they didn't. They waited until December to arrest him. And the reason for that? Because the Homeland Security and ICE was asked to wait until after the election. They were supposed to arrest him on October the 25th, 1 week before the election. You can read this story, believe it or not, at Huffington Post. I can't believe they posted this story because they are left-leaning police. But they posted this story. They were going to arrest this guy on October the 25th, but the daggone Obama was so scared of angering the Hispanic voters during the vote in November, 1 week later, that they postponed arresting him until December. Now, you think that doesn't happen? Here's a clear case of political opportunistics. All right? Political opportunity is why they postpone stuff. And I think that's what they're doing in this case. That's why we're not going to get the full story until after the gun control issue has been settled. Then we're going to find out that this semi-auto weapon had nothing to do with Sandy Hook. Let me go back to the phones. Area code 410, you are on the air. What can we do for you?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Listen, I do want to chime in here. You know, you go back throughout history, look at Russia, before they were taken over by communists, look at 1930s Germany, before they took away the guns. I mean, really, honestly, all this is the end game. I mean, really, he's taking away health care. He's taking away everything. The last thing Obama wants to take care of is the gun issue. If you have mags less than 10 rounds and the only people who have it is the military, they only have to have a certain amount of people that will shoot the military or shoot the citizens to control us.
Yep.
I mean, I don't want to be a conspiracy theorist here, because I'm not. But really, what does every socialist totalitarian government do? They destroy religion and they take away the gun.
Yeah, sure.
Even Pravda is telling us not to give away our guns.
It's interesting. What really makes it interesting to me, too, and this is where, if you need any further proof of that, I mean, you know, William already admits to being a concealed carry out of Pennsylvania. You know, I carry my 9mm with me everywhere I go, right here in Louisville. Dale, I know, can shoot. You know, I don't know if you do, sir. You know, but the fact of the matter is, anybody that's using a weapon that's going to require you to switch a clip out knows you can switch a clip out in about 10 seconds or less. So that 10 bullet clip doesn't mean a hill of beans.
Wait a second. You don't have to do that. Do you even have, I mean, come on. Think logically here. Logically, whatever they create, whatever law they create, you know a criminal is not going to abide by that. So
nope.
It's null and void in the first place. I don't have guns myself. I have family members. I got family members in the military, and I should have guns. But that's not what they're trying to do. They're trying to control you. I mean, really.
I'm in total agreement with that, and I agree. That's
not going to. I'm sorry?
Well, I was going to say, I'm in total agreement with that. That is the first line of defense. It's just a stupid thing. I'm totally with you on your argument, but what I'm saying is, you know, these guys continue saying that this is going to save lives, and they're convincing people that 10 bullet clip or less is the way to go. If they're really concerned about saving lives, we would require every home in America and every apartment in America, every trailer in America to have a gun. You want proof of that? Research Kennesaw, Georgia, right here in the USA.
Yep.
First of all, what is it? Switzerland, who nobody thinks of, has more guns because they're guaranteed or they're obliged to have guns in every home. Second of all, the biggest output, the biggest crimes, the biggest mass shootings we ever had was, what was it, 1929 or 1920s, whenever we created prohibition, a government-created mandate. Mm-hmm. So it's all government-created. So then you understand that this is all government-controlled. All this stuff that Obama does has everything to do about control of the people, not about justice, not about truth, not about saving people.
Well, that's very true. That's very true. And we often go back and talk about Germany and Austria and Nazi Germany under Hitler, and we're following that same game plan right now, in my opinion, and that's the way I feel about it. You know, but you're
absolutely
right. Oh,
wait, let me ask this.
Yeah.
Do you think we're such a free society, don't you think there would be some kind of resistance to this? There has to be, because this is the end game, isn't it? I mean, this is taking the arms out of the people, because those who are in the know understand the Second Amendment is not about hunting. It's about protecting yourself against a tyrannous government.
Well, sure it is.
That's what they're doing.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people are under the impression that it's to protect hunting, which is the biggest joke there is. I mean, let's look at the time the Constitution was written. Let's look at the Second Amendment. Let's realize one simple fact of life here. And by the way, William, your mic is staying open if you want to chime in on anything. I meant to tell you that earlier. But let's realize this. Let's realize this, okay? At the time the Constitution was written, at the time the Second Amendment was ratified, you had to hunt and you had to fish to survive, or you didn't eat. So a gun was a way of life. Everybody had a gun. If you didn't have a gun, you didn't eat dinner. It's that simple. So anybody who wants to sit here and act like this was done to protect hunters who didn't know a different way of life other than hunting, because that's all they could have known back then to eat, is living in a dreamland. Of course it was set up to protect us from a tyrannical government. My problem today is, and I think Dale would agree to some extent, even though we don't agree on a whole lot, we agree on this issue. My problem today is, I think we have gotten to the point in this country where it's beyond savable, because I think the sheep are voluntarily and willfully walking into the slaughterhouse.
But wait, even the people who helped us become free, they were a minority. I mean, we're always going to be in the minority, aren't we?
I don't think so. We don't have to be. Dale, weigh in here.
Is it easier to do nothing? I mean, everybody wants shit for free. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to cut. Everybody wants something for free. That's why we're in the situation we are, because they think it's just all given to them. And they agree with Obama.
And that's why they applaud and cheer, because they have no skin in the game. That's why they applaud and cheer. They have no skin in the game. Dale, go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is that if you want to talk about a minority of people, look at the minority of people who wanted us to break away from Great Britain. So it is a minority in that they're the people who are vocal and who aren't afraid to stand up, but who aren't sheep, who actually show that they have some nice big balls, they'll stand up. But that's where it's a minority. The problem is when people want to do this where we'll send the military after people for their guns, we'll send the police after their guns. Well, you don't know that military officer or that police officer is going to be willing to go in and take a person's guns. And you don't know who has them and who doesn't. That's the beauty of it. That's the same thing that keeps crime down, is because you don't know who has the guns and who doesn't.
But isn't the biggest problem that the people who understand the Constitution aren't that organized? Who aren't controlled and understanding coming together?
Go ahead and explain yourself on that, because really, I'm with Dale. Depending on what you mean by organization.
Well, because really, there's a lot of people out here. It seems like the same thing that happened 4 years ago. We started the Tea Party, but we all weren't organized. We weren't all in control of everything we're doing. Now you're talking about so many people who are shattered here, there, and all yonder, who aren't together to stop something. It makes it much easier for the federal government to come in and stop you and destroy you. Here, there, and on. I mean, they can destroy you left and right.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the Tea Party, though. Is the Tea Party really relevant?
The Tea Party is relevant, but the problem with the Tea Party is regular people who aren't always there. They're divided.
But the Tea Party sold out.
The problem with the Tea Party, which I was part of, is that it's everybody trying to live their life, and that's our biggest problem.
Well, the Tea Party sold out. The Tea Party, in my opinion, right now, deserves the title Liberal Light. And I think they proved that during this whole fiscal cliff vote just a couple of weeks ago when they voted on the fiscal cliff. The Tea Party elected representatives voted in favor of that instead of standing true to the values of smaller government and less taxes that they were elected for. The Tea Party contingent in Congress voted yes on that. The lone exception to that was Tea Party, or could be considered Tea Party, was Senator Rand Paul. He stood firm against it.
And this is the problem. The ones who claim to be Tea Party representatives in the House of the Senate, when they vote the wrong way, people have got to remember this 2 years later, and that's the problem. We hear how lowly rated, how lowly ranked, and how unpopular the Congress is, but they keep getting reelected. So there's something strange there. We keep hearing how terrible they are, but people keep reelecting the same congressman over and over.
If the Tea Party tries to create something and nobody votes for it like they've never done, what are we supposed to do? When was the last time that a representative actually voted the way people wanted to?
I'd say my U.S. Senator Rand Paul does that. I'd say my Congressman Thomas Massey does. Those two are the very few who do what people tell them.
Two, but I mean, that's...
Oh, I agree. It's a very small minority. I agree. But people won't vote him out. I'm the one who would reelect nobody.
And what do we do?
I wish nobody would be reelected, and we'd be better off.
I
want to get William in here real quick. Hang on, guys. William, you're chomping at the bit. I know you are. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. Look, I don't know. My family's been here since 1735. Came over from Ireland, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but we're able to trace all the way back to when they came over. So we have like a big thick book of senators who were in our family, congressmen, people who were in, you know, Washington's army. The last name Sturgeon, you can even look it up. We had our own society and stuff here when we came over. But just to give an example of how surreal this whole situation is, today I went over to where I purchased my guns and ammunition. I just stopped in there to pick up some mace for my daughter. Mm-hmm. I looked up on the shelves, and there was no semi-automatics. And I said, Chris, I said, you're out, huh? He said, yeah. I'm not going to be getting anything in for, like, weeks. And I knew the president was going to be doing his executive articles or whatever today. So I said, you know, I still have that AK that I bought off you 2 years ago. I said, what would you give me for it? He said, $500. I paid $300 for it.
Yep.
He said, $500. And I said, well, I got about 500 rounds of ammo for it. I said, well, give me for the AK and for the ammo, and I got four clips. So I'll give you $700. I drove home and sold it to him.
if you're full not to.
And that's supply and demand, because the more the president tries to take it away, the more people want it.
He said he had a list.
He already had 250,000 members apply in the last 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you look at it realistically, just in the last 30 days, if America, and this is what really puzzles me, because, you know, the ultra-left liberals continue saying that they have the majority, that Americans want all these gun control laws and everything else. Look at the NRA, and I know that's not your favorite first place, Dale, because of political reasons, but let's look at the reality here. The NRA increased over the last 30 days by 100,000 paid memberships, not the free memberships. 100,000 people actually paid the paid dues membership.
I can't hear you, Ed. You're gone.
Yeah, it's a big buzz.
Ed, you're gone. All I hear is a buzz. You're saying stuff that the controllers don't want to hear you talking about.
Well, he was talking about the paid memberships for NRA. Everybody has an ounce on that. They're a piece of skin on that. But why is the NRA have so many more memberships in the last 2 months? I mean, if you look at it, the NRA in the last 2 months has surpassed everything. What, a quarter of a million people? So,
because they have slammed the NRA. I mean, the NRA takes ads out telling people to protect themselves, and just look at what's going on now. The NRA has an ad out talking about how the president's daughters are protected by Secret Service agents, but we don't have the guns the Secret Service agents have to protect the president's daughters, because they don't want us to have those guns.
I mean, isn't that the logical aspect in a hypocrisy, is that the people who want to take guns away are protected by a Secret Service and protect themselves left and right by guns, saying we want to take guns away from law-abiding citizens? Come on.
Yep.
We know.
I think you're back, Ed. You were gone for about 3 minutes there.
Yeah, I could hear you guys fine. It's just, I tell you, man, every time I start getting into this serious stuff, for some reason or another, it happens. I just switched to a different type of system, bypassing everything I could possibly bypass, just like I had to do last night. It's hilarious. It's interesting, because when we continue looking at these gun control laws, when we continue looking at the real game, why is it that Americans are flocking to the NRA? Of course, we know mainstream media is not going to pay any attention to that, so they can promote their own agenda. But what is so hard about getting all of these people together and start promoting ourselves? Here's a case in point. This show has been around for 5 years. Okay? This show has been around for 5 years. The whole MVM network has been around since 2007. LouisvillePolitics.com. Here we go with all of this information. We're getting the message out. We've got thousands and thousands of people who follow us worldwide, including our soldiers overseas. But you've got all these hundreds of thousands and even millions of people who joined the NRA, and you can't get funding. How do you bring these people together and get a pool of money together so that you can get your message out? We try.
You understand this. People are not always, and I just turned in tonight, people are not always tuned in at one specific point. I mean, you're talking about people who are living their lives, who are separated by a whole lot of stuff. I mean, you're really talking about, honestly, if you're talking about bringing people together, that's a huge deal, because the liberals have that.
Mm-hmm.
The liberals hate freedom. They hate everything. But bringing people together who just want to live their freaking lives and want freedom is a whole different aspect. Because most people just want to, I just want somebody to leave me the freak alone.
Well, I agree. But how are you going
to
get there? Because
to bring
unfortunately, the
only place I would disagree with you when you say liberals hate freedom, again, I try to stay away from those catchphrases, liberal and conservative, because I keep telling people it's not left versus right, it's you versus the damn government. And, you know, someone might be called a liberal, but they might be for freeing some people in other parts of the world where they're conservatives.
Where liberals,
Ed, you're
going
to mute them or something so I can talk. And conservatives want to go around the world and conquer all these other countries and do nation building. So I think it's us versus the government. It's not left versus right.
Wait a second.
Okay.
Nation building. They just want freedom. I mean, you're talking about liberals who want to control everything. You're talking about gun control. You're talking about they're denouncing religion.
Do they want to control abortion?
Real conservatives don't want any of that. They just want to live.
Well, quite frankly,
the only reason
quite
we
frankly,
can evolve in politics is because the liberals want to control every damn thing we do. And then all they do is say, we do what they do. And that I'm tired of that. I'm tired of the liberals controlling our narrative.
Here's the problem is a lot of people call themselves conservatives. I mean, and I've been called a conservative a lot more than a liberal, but the problem is a lot of people call themselves conservatives want to control things like marijuana, want to control him, want to control abortion.
I think you're both wrong.
Anything.
I think you're both wrong. I don't think the problem is that one is a conservative, one is a liberal. I think the problem is that we identify by those labels.
I just said that. How am I wrong? I just told you that you got to get away from the labels.
Well, no, you're right. I mean, just what you're talking about, never mind. I misunderstood you. I agree with your assessment. We've got to get rid of it from labels because, number one, in this country, you're an American, period.
Yep.
We have a set of rules and guidelines that we're supposed to follow. It's called the Constitution of the United States. The top 10 in that Constitution we call the Bill of Rights.
Yep.
So we have established order. We have established way of doing business. We have the American way of life, but what we have not got is true leadership. What we have is a bunch of two-year-old whiny-ass crybabies like the Democrats who want everything for nothing, and then you've got the two-year-old whiny-ass crybabies like the Republicans who want responsibility for nothing. Okay, so that's why Republicans are scared to lead. They don't want the responsibility. You don't have Republicans and Democrats in this country anymore. You have the Uniparty. But everybody,
well, if you go back and look at last year's shows, if someone went back and listened to the archives, they can go back and listen to any archives of these shows. I was warning people about a year ago. No, not a year ago, because we thought that we might have a fighting chance in the Republican primary before they elected the big government, Mitt Romney. But I was warning people probably about 6 months ago. What did I tell you? I said, you better watch out for your gun rights because you got two major candidates, Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, who don't say a thing about guns. And I told everybody it was very creepy how none of the debates said anything about guns because Gun Owners of America, the real gun owners group, not the ones who've been neutered and are a bunch of just pansies like the NRA, but Gun Owners of America gave Barack Obama an F grade on guns and gave Mitt Romney a D minus. And that's what I warned people. You didn't see one question in one debate or one press conference or one interview about guns.
I totally remember that, too. You know, but that's what makes everything so damn crazy right now is because we're continuing to fall for this BS rhetoric, and we're not looking for real solutions. Do we need to attack the mental health problems in this country? Yes, we do. But we don't do that by taking guns away from law-abiding people. Do we need to have some sense of responsibility with our weapons? Sure we do. I've got no problem with that. Go ahead and put on a national campaign. Please lock your guns in a gun safe when not in use. I have no problem with that. That's
information. Go back a year ago. It was February of last year. Larry Pratt, who I've interviewed on another radio show, Larry Pratt, who's executive director of Gun Owners of America, went on Fox News. Remember, Fox News is supposedly a big conservative network, which I've blown that fallacy out of the water many times. But Larry Pratt went on Fox News February of last year with Megyn Kelly, the bleach blonde bimbo who sits there with her big high heels and her short skirt so you can see up her panties. He goes on her show, and he tried to tell everybody about Project Gunwalker and all the allegations about the ATF monitoring guns and operations and how it had gone awry. And Miss Bimbo, Megyn Kelly, immediately tried to steer him away from talking about that. So that's your conservatives there who pretend to be conservative at Fox News. They didn't want him telling you the truth about Project Gunwalker a year ago.
Well, we don't have conservatives in this country.
Well,
we don't have real conservatives in this country. We've got them. We've got real conservatives, but they're just not in elected office.
Exactly.
And that's the major problem. You know, and that's what we've got to find. We've got to find leadership that's going to represent the American people, the American values, and the Constitution. We cannot continue to elect people like Barack Obama and the ultra-liberal left who continue wanting to destroy us. I mean, you know, we've got 50% of this country, almost 50% of this country, folks, relies heavily on government subsidization, whether that's food stamps, Section 8 assistance, food, housing, utility bills, you name it. Almost 50% of the people in this country receive government aid in one form or another. That should tell you all you need to know about Democratic leadership. The Uniparty, when I say Democratic leadership, I'm not particularly talking about just the Democratic Party, because the Republican Party has been complicit in this mess. They had the chance to take care of our fiscal constraints and our fiscal problems and bring things together under George W. Bush for 8 years, at least the first six. They had a Democratic Congress the last 2 years George Bush was in office, so I'll give him a little bit free pass on his last 2 years. But what about the first six? See, that's always the problem for me. All right, I just don't comprehend why the American people don't put that together, and I tell you why, because William said it a minute ago. And correct me if I'm wrong here, William, but William said it a minute ago, you know, people are getting something for nothing. And when you're getting something for nothing, you don't have any respect for anything. And that's the problem. You know, we're running out of time real, real fast here, Dale. William, I want to thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it, man. All right, call us back anytime. I want to thank you so much for that. Dale, I tell you what, we are running out of time. It's about 5 till now. Give me some final thoughts, my brother. You've always got them.
Well, the bottom line is we're looking at things like ammunition orders going through the roof, and then you have some people who are complacent with the left wing, and some people want to go along with, like, the Walmarts. They refuse to order new ammunition, even though they can make a ton of money off of it. So it's all by design, and you have a few people out there who hold the power, but you have a lot more people out there who hold the guns than those who hold the power. And the bottom line is we'll go all the way back to the War of Northern Aggression, the ones that they tell you in the government indoctrination camps, they call it the Civil War. But the bottom line is if blacks had been able to have guns, there never would have been slavery. And that's the bottom line. They want you to be their slaves. And if you don't have a gun, you're their slave. I'm telling you, stick to your guns, be those bitter clingers, and don't back away from your guns. We're getting closer and closer to telling them death to the New World Order.
You know, it's fascinating, too, because our good friend Paul Holliger was stopping. He just posted something in the chat room, and actually I'm going to get to that in just a second anyway, so it just gives me a great opportunity in closing arguments to do it. But according to a CNN Time Magazine poll, that poll indicates that Americans generally favor stricter gun control because they think it's too easy to buy guns in this country, but they don't believe the stricter gun control laws would reduce gun violence all by themselves. And that's actually true because, you know, stricter gun control laws do nothing more than empower the criminal element even further. And that's always been the problem. It's not the law-abiding people, the millions and millions of law-abiding citizens who own guns that are the problem. And the gun itself is not a problem. I mean, case in point, one of the biggest arguments over the last couple of weeks, everybody's heard about the Piers Morgan and Alex Jones situation. And Piers Morgan wants to convince the whole world that the UK has it right on gun control because they only had 35 gun deaths last year compared to over 11,000 for America. Well, when you take the population and everything else into play, what Piers Morgan is not telling you is that the homicide rate in the UK is greatly higher than the homicide rate right here in America. What does that mean? It means that guns aren't killing you. A gun is only a weapon that's used. It has to have intent from somebody behind it. In the UK, their major homicides are caused by stabbings. So in 2009, they passed a law that said you've got to be 18 years old before you can buy a knife. And yet the murder rate by stabbings went up. So that didn't stop anything. What we have to do is change the mindset in America. We have to get people back on the right page. We've got to get back to respecting life. We've got to get back to respecting our Constitution. We've got to get back to respecting the rights of each and every American. And we're not going to do that when we continue down this ultra-left liberal slant that the Democratic Party wants us to go down and the Republican Party is complicit in. It's time that we stand up and wake up and say we've had enough. Because until we're willing to put it on the line, until we're willing to stand up, and until we're willing to say we have had enough, we're going to continue getting to what we've gotten. And it's going to get progressively worse. That's it for tonight, folks. Tomorrow night, Dale, the truth will be here at 7 o'clock. Anything on your agenda, man?
Well, we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics tomorrow night, and that is secession. And that is because the White House has responded to another one of these petitions.
Texas.
And the White House has come out this week and said that the state of Texas doesn't have the right to secede from the U.S. And all their audacity and all their elitism and their just BS mentality, the White House says that America was created as a perpetual union and that the Founding Fathers did not provide a right to walk away from it. So we're going to talk about that tomorrow night because apparently the White House is confusing our Founding Fathers with traitors like Abraham Lincoln.
Well, there you go, man. You got it straight from the horse's mouth. Tune in tomorrow night at 7 o'clock to hear more on Dale the Truth. and Secession. And don't forget, Sunday night at 7 o'clock, as always, Mr. Ken Molman with Liberty Unbridled right here on the MVM Radio Network. That's it for tonight. Don't forget to check out LouisvillePolitics.com for all the latest. And you can also hear the replays of this show at Stitcher.com. We are now part of the Stitcher family. And you can hear it. Join our RSS feed. You'll get everything put right to you. And you can also check it out on the website, LouisvillePolitics.com. That's it for tonight. Have a great night, and we will talk to you guys later.